This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Enterprise on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong. Today, I speak to Henry Patterson, founder of Young and Mighty and Not Before Tea, as well as the author of The Adventures of Sherb and Pip. So first of all, thank you so much for talking to me today. I've been told that this is, what, your first time in Asia? How are you finding it so far?
It's great being in Malaysia. It's very hot.
Right. So, okay, first of all, let's just get this out of the way. You are 13 and you've already founded multiple companies and you've written a book. So your entrepreneurial path began at the age of just 5 and you started with buying toys at car boot sales and reselling them on eBay. I mean, where did you even get this idea as a 5-year-old?
I don't know. That's a really good question, actually. But I think I always liked to kind of earn things and kind of do it my own way. And I was always kind of thinking of lots of crazy ideas that that I always kind of wanted to put into reality. But I think here I really wanted to buy a new toy. So I went to car boot sales and also got some of my own toys together. And I put them into bundles and put them into groups and then sold them on eBay. So I guess that's where it all kind of started, really.
Right. So, I mean, you sold them on eBay, and then from there, where did you go next?
My next venture, I wasn't satisfied yet, and I kind of just wanted a tiny bit more. So I started to sell horse manure outside of my front gates for people's gardens. So we have horses, and we were in a garden centre, and I saw that they were selling some horse manure. And we always had the farmer come and take ours away, and we had to pay for that. I guess I kind of thought, hang on, this isn't right. Why are we paying? So I decided that I would set up Henry's 50p Rotten Manure.
Wow. I mean, that's a really innovative way of making money at that age. And also to realize that that's something you can sell in and of the first place is actually really interesting. Right. So going from your background now to what you're doing now, you're the founder of Young and Mighty and Not Before Tea. So can you tell us a little bit about those two ventures and what inspired you to create those businesses?
Of course. So I guess I'll start with Not Before Tea because that came first. So my mom always used to tell me stories about how she used to go down to a sweet shop when she was younger. And she always told me kind of what sweets that she would buy first and which ones, you know, she would save until later. And I kind of thought, well, children really don't have that sort of magic in sweets anymore. They don't kind of get that kind of whole experience. Like they'll go to a store and they'll pick up like a chocolate bar or something. And then just that's done. That's it. So I guess I really wanted to put the magic back into sweets. So I called it Not Before Tea because that's what my grandma always used to tell me when I asked for sweets. So that's why I called it that. And a couple of years later, I developed a really bad stammer. So I couldn't really talk about my business anymore, which I really hated. And so I guess I thought to myself, well, if I can't talk, then I can write. So I had this idea of a sweet shop. In my mind, it's run by a mouse. So I thought, why don't I write a book? So I wrote a book called The Adventures of Sherb and Pip. And I guess no one really knew how to write a book. Like my family, my family hadn't had any experience. So I guess it was all just from going onto Google and, you know, just searching, how do I write a book? But eventually I did get it done and I was over the moon.
Yeah. I mean, so how does The Adventures of Sherb and Pip, how did that tie into your Not Before Tea idea?
So I kind of turned it into the kind of the center of the business, the core, you know, the heart. So I got rid of the sweets and thought, okay, let's focus on the book now. So the book was out there and I wanted more reasons for people to get excited about the book. And I'd grown up in the age of merchandise and toys. And, you know, when you see a TV show or you read a book, there's always the merchandise around it. So I thought to myself, you know, let's try and get this merchandise. So I asked my mum how to do it and she had no idea. Like we hadn't done this before. So again, it was just by doing my research that I managed to eventually get a brilliant line of over 50 products, which was absolutely amazing.
So that was published in 2014. And that was with the two characters called Shurib and Pip. And today there are more characters like Vera, Mr. Fox, Mrs. Pinny, Martha, etc., etc. So how did you come up with this wide range of characters?
So I've also, apart from loving writing, apart from loving my business, I have a passion for wildlife. And we live in the countryside. And whilst we go on walks in the country, these are the sort of creatures that we see around. And I guess as I was younger, I always kind of put names to them and said, oh, that's Vera Vole, that's Martha the Mole. That was my way of kind of remembering who they were. So I guess I really wanted to put that into... Put kind of some of my experiences into the book so right. I could really understand who I was writing about, who I was talking about.
So it was the stuff that you were already familiar with around you, and then you kind of took that and you took this concept and made it into the book. Right. So you also have Young and Mighty. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yep. So Young and Mighty actually just launched a couple of weeks ago now. It is a online space for young people aged 11 to 14 who are just kind of like me, who really want to do something good, to kind of to make something, whether it be setting up a business or fundraising for a charity, or just people who don't fit in at school. So I didn't always fit in at school. And I guess Young and Mighty is something that would have helped me when I was younger. It's just, I guess it's just kind of to say how to do this or kind of motivation to get you through kind of the hardness of school or the tough things that you might face, kind of on your journey.
So it's a kind of platform for support, I guess, because, you know, I see a lot of online platforms for adults or for teenagers, you know, that are saying like, hey, you're having problems. It's really tough growing up. And then no one realizes, I think, that, you know, even as a kid, you've got problems. They may not seem like big problems to adults, right? But, you know, you have a kind of, you know, there's going to be some stuff that you want to know about that you can't talk to other people about except to your peers.
Yeah, I kind of think that the thing with Young and Mighty is this. To some people, Young and Mighty may not seem like an urgent thing. You know, there are some things that really are urgent and that, you know, people need to find out about that could in some cases be like life threatening. But I think Young and Mighty is actually, you know, my business gave me lots of kind of hope and lots of confidence, lots of inspiration. So as it may not seem like a really crucial topic, it actually is to some extent, you know, it's just something really important that I think we should be encouraging.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really fundamental for kids to be able to talk to other kids and also to be able to know that there is a place that they can go to, you know, be able to talk freely about the stuff that's bothering them. So I think that's really, really fascinating. So, I mean, how have all of your businesses progressed so far in the time that you've spent on them?
So Not Before Tea is currently being turned into a cartoon. So that's really exciting.
Wow, really?
Yep, I'm so excited for this. Young and Mighty, again, it's just in its launching stages. I'm writing another book called How to Double Your Pocket Money. This is kind of Young and Mighty in book form, really. Bits of it are in the name, How to Double Your Pocket Money. Again, fundraising, you know, we have bits from the survival guide in there. And then we also have, interviews with celebrities and people who have influenced me and others, such as, Sir Richard Branson, who has really, really helped me, in my journey. And vloggers and athletes and just people that, young people can aspire to be.
Okay, wow, that's really fascinating. I'm really excited to hear about Not Before Tea because it sounds like such a, you know, that sounds like the natural progression. For those characters to enter the animated world. So that's really amazing. And also about your book. I mean, so tell us a little bit more about that because obviously you're 13 and yet you're writing a book about essentially budgeting and finances.
When I started Not Before Tea, I was nominated for an award. And I managed to win the award and my prize was a book voucher. So I wanted something to remember that moment. So I went into a bookshop and wanted to find a business book that could really help me along the way. And I went in there and there were just all of these books full of graphs and boring books. I don't think would have been it, that wouldn't have been that interesting to a then 9 year old. So I promised myself that one day that would be my book up there, and you know, like it would be funny, exciting, full of energy, and I hope that that's what Houses of Your Pocket Money's managed to be. It's been a challenge to write. It's taken at least 6 months, 7 months of just constant writing and writing and writing. But also the support I've got from some amazing people has just been incredible. Yeah.
I have to ask kind of what is it like, the difference obviously between writing a fiction book and a non-fiction book as well, right? Like what is that process like?
There's a bit of pressure about, you know, is everything I'm saying true? You know, when I was writing The Adventures of Chev and Pip, it was all coming from my mind. But I think the stuff that I'm talking about here, which is some important stuff and unfortunately some legal stuff, I really need to know my stuff, which to be honest, I don't. So we've got some experts in, and also just doing lots of research. We have an amazing, amazing team who have helped us on this book, who have really helped us with the research and just making sure that everything we're saying is right.
Right. Wow. I see. I kind of get the idea of, you know, that idea that, because you're writing something that's nonfiction, everything has to be a fact. It can't be an opinion anymore unless you say it's an opinion. So I can see how that would be quite a challenge as well. So that's particularly interesting. Well, we're going to take a short break, but after this, I'll be continuing my conversation with Henry Patterson. This is Christine Wong on Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Good morning. You're listening to Enterprise on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, and I'm speaking to Henry Patterson, a 13-year-old entrepreneur. Right. So, kind of going off a more general tone, just in terms of your style as an entrepreneur. I mean, how did you even come up with, you know, these ideas for these businesses and these products? Because, you know, they're very unique. You know, you don't think about like an online sweet shop. You don't think about a support platform for kids, but you have not only found unique products, but you've also been able to stand out from any potential competition at, you know, with the stuff that you've done. So how have you gone about that?
I think you can't say that for something like this, it's all one person. I think the main thing is asking other people, my friends, my family, my family's friends and their friends and their friends and their friends. And I guess just your customer research, like we've been talking about, it's so important to do your research. You've got to look what's out there, where there's a gap, and how you could fill in that gap. I don't think, like, there's no point to try and fill in a gap if you don't know how to do it.
Right.
Then that's for someone else to do. You know, you've got to stick to things that you know. But if you are an expert in that and you feel as though you've got such confidence to fill in that gap, then go for it.
All right. So you're by this point in your life, you're quite a public figure as well. So how do you run your social media platforms and websites? Do you incorporate any management tools, or is it like just you?
So my mum runs my Instagram account, just to, you know, make sure that everything's okay and, you know, I'm not getting any really horrible people on there. And she's doing a brilliant job. Thank you, mum. We have a wonderful team who's doing the website and stuff, who are just absolutely amazing at keeping it up. And I don't think that I could manage, you know, to do what I'm doing without the people who have helped me. So I think it's important that you surround yourself with people who really support what you're doing and who can support you whilst doing it.
So you are in Malaysia specifically for a conference that you speak at, and you've also done a lot of speaking in general. You also participated in the Retail Week live at the O2, I believe sometime last year.
Yes.
What was that like? I mean, having this, I believe the O2 is like the biggest... one of the biggest performance spaces in the UK.
Yes, that was a crazy moment of my life. The part that I actually remember most, actually, is how I found out that I was going to be speaking there. I came home from school one day and my mum just said, you know, so I've got some news. And I didn't really know what it would be. I knew that it would be exciting. But then she said that you're speaking at the O2 Arena. I think then suddenly I just kind of collapsed. No, I guess it was just that moment of initial shock. And I immediately said yes without even thinking about it. And I think that's a really important lesson to learn, that to kind of say yes and worry about it later. You know, there are so many opportunities that I missed in the past because I've thought about it too much and I've said maybe next time, maybe next year. But next year, the opportunity's gone, and it's not there anymore.
The kind of concept of, you know, act first, think later, you know, seize the opportunities where they come. But also, who says no to speaking at the O2 Arena, right? So what did you talk about? What was it like?
It was amazing. So I spoke about kind of my story and my journey so far, and also just kind of who's helped me along the way and how I've been motivated by certain people. So, yeah, it was just an absolutely incredible, incredible moment of my life, and I will never forget it.
So let's just talk a little bit about maybe some of the stuff you covered during your talk, right? As such a young entrepreneur, what are some of the struggles that you've faced, and how did you resolve these?
Yeah, so I think mostly the struggles that I faced are from the negative people around me. My first school, I never really ever visited in. I was never invited to parties. And I was never kind of one of the popular ones. And I always kind of stood out as very different. My friends liked baseball caps and I liked top hats. Or my friends liked toy shops and I liked antique shops. Or my friends liked pop songs and I liked musicals.
Yeah, I see. So it's one of those things where I think a lot of people don't understand that even as a kid, you know, when you can definitely tell when you're kind of the odd one out. But in a way, I guess that spurred you to do something a bit, I don't know, extra, I guess, in that sense, right? So that's interesting. Have you experienced any, you know, anything where someone has maybe not taken you seriously or something like that because you're so young?
There was a meeting a couple of years ago. I won't name any names, who I kind of just sat down and it was almost like a let's grill Henry session. They were telling me, oh, stop spinning on your chair. You have to wear a tie. And actually a couple of years later when I met Richard Branson, he said, you don't have to wear a tie. So to that person who said no, I throw this back at you.
This is a PSA to any budding entrepreneurs out there. You don't have to wear a tie. No, but also in general, I mean, I would assume that your lifestyle is very, very different to that of the average 13-year-old. So what have been some of the accomplishments that you've had or the experiences that you've had, excluding the O2 Arena, because that's ridiculous, that you've had so far in your life that you maybe want to highlight?
I guess just meeting Richard Branson is got to be up there. Actually, yesterday, this was a crazy moment, and this has probably squeezed its way to the top somehow. Yesterday, Richard Branson put me in his blog, and then he tweeted me later on. So I kind of think I cried myself to sleep. I was over the moon.
When did you meet Richard Branson?
So I met him in 2014 on a BBC TV show, and he later contributed to my book called How to Stop Your Pocket Money, the one I was speaking about earlier, and now I guess we've been talking for a bit longer and I just find it absolutely amazing and still have no idea who, how this has happened.
Yeah, I think that's definitely, you know, even, I mean, even for someone who has kind of, like, I'm ever so slightly older than you, you know, I still have moments in my life where I can't even believe something is happening. And to meet someone who is as prolific as Richard Branson must have been incredible, you know, to do. So, okay, this is where I'm not even sure in a way what else could happen in your life that you haven't already done, but what plans do you have for the future?
Oh, that is the toughest question that I ever get asked, because there are so many things that I love doing. Speaking is one of them. My business is one of them. I love singing. I love musicals. If I could put all of those things together, I could. And if anyone has any ideas of how I can do that, then please get in touch with me. Seriously, there are so many things that I really want to do, but I can't do them all. And I've got to find something that I could do. I guess I could be a singing speaker entrepreneur.
Do you have any thoughts about maybe doing more stuff internationally as well?
Yeah, I absolutely love going to new places and I love meeting new people as well and learning about different places as well. So I think speaking is a great way to actually do that because, you know, so I get to go around to go and tell my story. And it's an absolutely lovely thing that also people are interested. like, to what I have to say. Do you know what? I'm so grateful to some of the people who are here today. Like, they came to actually see my talk, which, you know, means so much to me. And I think, well, when I think back to when I didn't fit in at school and when I was being told that I was useless and when I was being told that I was letting everyone down, you know, I think this is really such an amazing moment now. And I kind of just wish that I got the chance to say, this is where I am now, you know?
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, you can look back at those moments. And if you could travel back into the past and tell yourself, you know, hey, you're going to be on a stage speaking to people, I think that would be incredible. As a final question, more and more people are taking the world of business head on, including children like yourself. So what words of wisdom, in a way, what do you think is fundamental for budding entrepreneurs who might want to follow in your footsteps to consider before stepping into this game?
I think the most important thing is to be yourself, and don't, just because someone said something does not mean that it's right. I mean, some of the things that I've said today, you don't necessarily have to follow them. You know, you can be yourself and do what you want to do. You know, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to succeed, but that's all part of the journey. That's all part of learning how to do it. You're going to make mistakes. That's set in stone. You are going to, and there's no way that you can move your way around that. So I think it's also, you have to have an open mind, and you've got to be ready to face these mistakes head on. And that's the important thing.
That's about all the time we have. Thank you so much to Henry Patterson for speaking to us today. I'm Christine Wong, and this is Enterprise. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.